If you're vaccinated, it may soon be time for another shot in the arm. This morning, the U.S. government recommended a booster for people who got the Pfizer or Moderna shots. The idea here is to wait 8 months after your second dose, and the program starts in a month or so. Here's Surgeon General Vivek Murthy.
Having reviewed the most current data, it is now our clinical judgment that the time to lay out a plan for COVID-19 boosters is now. Recent data makes clear that protection against mild and moderate disease has decreased over time. This is likely due to both waning immunity and the strength of the widespread Delta variant.
And for more, Dr. Peter Hotez joins us again. He's Dean of the National School of Tropical Medicine at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston and co-director of the Center for Vaccine Development at Texas Children's Hospital. Dr. Hotez, third booster shot 8 months later. Good idea?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be necessary. And, you know, one of the things that I've been trying to do is reframe this a little bit to provide some reassurance, because I think people are thinking that something bad has happened, that things have derailed or something's gone wrong.
Yeah, right. Suddenly I'm at risk again. Whoa. Right.
Yeah. And it's really not the case. In some ways, this was by design. And the reason I say that is, if you remember when these vaccines were released back in December and January, it had a 3 to 4 week interval between the first or second dose, depending on whether it was Pfizer or Moderna. And that's pretty unusual for a vaccine schedule. Usually, if you want to produce long-term durable protection, you would separate out for a much longer period, maybe at least 6 months. The reason they did that was because at that time, if you remember, we were losing 3,000 Americans a day.
Yeah.
And we need to fully vaccinate the American people as quickly as possible. That was the reason for the urgency. But almost by design, it meant that we're going to have a booster later on, either whether it's 6 months later or a year later. So this is all predicted and predictable. And I think they could have reframed that a little bit to emphasize that point.
But as you're saying, we knew there was this trade-off to front load the shots, and then eventually we might come to this question. Now, what do you make of the data here? Do we have enough data in your view to make this call?
Well, what they've seen now is a slippage in the level of protection against infection, both in data from Israel and some from the United States now. And I think there's going to be more data put up on the CDC website from the MMR data report coming up soon. And it basically says that the efficacy against infections going down from over 90% to 40 to 50%, maybe a little better for the Moderna vaccine. And even though the published data has not shown us a breakthrough hospitalizations, there's an anticipation that that's going to happen. And anecdotally, we've already heard that from a number of people, that they're seeing a significant percentage of hospitalized individuals who have been vaccinated. And so that's the reason for calling for the boost. I think if they knew it was only going to be infection, not hospitalization, they might have held off. But I think the concern is that there was enough there that they thought this was the tip of the spear.
All right. Now this relates to people who got the Pfizer and Moderna shots. 13 million Americans got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They're not included here. Why not?
Yeah, and this has been a constant source of frustration from my side as well, that the communications have always lagged behind from the J&J vaccine. They almost talk about it like an afterthought, which is too bad, because it's a good vaccine. By the way, it was developed initially in Boston, where you are, by Dan Baruch's lab at Harvard Medical School. And I think we don't have a lot of data. And again, it's partly because we rely so heavily on data from Israel rather than our own U.S. CDC, that what happened is the J&J vaccine's not been deployed in Israel, so that's why we don't have it. So I think that will be forthcoming as well. And I think, you know, if you looked at that phase 1, phase 2 data, I think you could have seen that we're probably going to need either a second dose of the J&J vaccine or boosting with one of the mRNA vaccines, Moderna or Pfizer. I just don't know what's in the cards in terms of what they're going to recommend.
All right. And very quickly, we always have to ask the supply question here. If we do this for the Americans, is there enough for the rest of the world?
Yeah, I think this has never been framed very well. And it takes a longer – we could do a whole half an hour show just on what's needed. But the point is
tomorrow
we have a billion people in Africa, 650 million people in Latin America, We have 500 million people in the smaller low-income countries of Southeast Asia, just 2 to 3 billion people. We need 6 billion doses, and the U.S. government needs to come clean and come up with a plan for providing 6 billion doses. We think our vaccine at Texas Children's is part of the answer, that it's a low-cost vaccine now being scaled in India and Indonesia. Simple, easy to produce, scale, no upper limit, but we're not getting any help from the U.S. government, unfortunately, about that one.
Dr. Peter Hotez of Texas Children and the Baylor College of Medicine. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks so much.